Schneiderman says there are many cases not covered by that ruling. Warren Levinson, New York.
The plaintiffs claim the decision to end the program was motivated by racial animus against Latinos. But lawyers for the Trump administration strongly deny the Republican president's decision was motivated by hatred. They say the DACA program was legally flawed. Mr. Trump has expressed sympathy for immigrants covered by the DACA program. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're back after a week off.
Yes, we are back with a new episode.
It was funny to hear a rerun that was from right at the beginning of the year, where we're talking about things that we haven't seen, and now we have seen those things.
We have.
There are a lot of them that we talked about. We're super excited for downsizing. We are not.
No, and I think we addressed that on our last live show about how disappointing that movie was.
And we were like, well, we kind of want to see Jumanji. That one was great.
That one was very good. I really liked how they handled that. They did a really good job with taking it into a new genre, you know, because it was the original was a board game. And now the, you know, hip new technology is video games. And so Jumanji changed itself into a video game.
Has to keep up with the times.
Yeah.
Even an evil life-changing board game has to keep up with the times.
Right, well, that makes sense. I mean, it makes sense that we would
evolve and adapt.
It would evolve. It needs to keep up on its evilness. So.
It needs to keep up on its evilness with marketing.
Yeah, you know, times get tough, and if you can't adapt, then you just die off.
Do you think Jumanji was just ever an evil abacus?
Probably, yeah.
That's probably how it worked.
Yeah, I'm sure its evilness had to start somewhere.
So what is our topic this week?
So this week we are going to be talking about Broken Lizard.
Now, people probably either know what this is and are super excited just by us saying that, or they have no idea and they want to know what a Broken Lizard is.
Broken Lizard is a comedy troupe made up of five guys, and they all met in college, and they were part of a comedy group in college, and then after college they stayed together, and they have made such gems as Super Troopers, Beer Fest, and I think those are the two most well-known of their movies.
Is Beer Fest better known than Club Dread? Because I feel like Club Dread is a little more well-known than Beer Fest.
Well, Beer Fest is more recent.
Okay.
So,
but it's not the most recent one we're going to talk about.
No, it's not. Today we're going to focus on Super Troopers, which was the first thing I'd seen by these guys, and is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. It made me laugh more than any other movie I've ever seen the first time I've watched it. And I've watched it several times since then. Also, Club Dread, which is their, you know, island-based thriller. And then Slammin' Salmon, which I was unaware of until recently. I just saw it on a list. I was like, oh, what's that? And decided to watch it. And it's really funny.
That's awesome. So that's what we're going to talk about, right, Meow?
Uh-huh. Right, Meow.
Okay. So, like you said, the most popular one and probably the one that people know the most is Super Troopers.
Right. So Super Troopers is about five state troopers in Vermont. And you know what? There's not a lot of crime in Vermont, so they're kind of bored. And so it's their day-to-day lives and how they keep themselves entertained until they do come across a drug smuggling ring that they then have to take down.
And then all breaks loose right there.
Yeah, and so this movie, it's crude.
Yeah, if you're going to watch any of these movies, expect it to be complete college humor.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty much just boobs and crude jokes,
mm-hmm.
but done very well.
Very well. And this one has a lot of drug references, too, because they do take down a marijuana ring. It's just so funny. Oh, my gosh. And the way they mess with people, like we referenced the Meow, the two of them pull over. Who is it? It's the actor who's in the car that they pull over.
He's in bit parts a lot. Wasn't he the one that was in 500 Days of Summer as the friend? And he's married to Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they they see how many times they can say Meow. And, you know, Meow, do you know why I pulled you over? And things like that. And, oh my gosh, just so freaking funny. And the driver is so confused of what's happening and tries to call them out on it.
Because they're high. Right?
No, they're just messing with him.
Well, I thought the kids were high. And they're messing with the high kids.
With the kids, yeah. That's not the meow one.
Oh no, I know who the actor is in that. It's been a while since I've watched this movie, but you love it. It's Jim Gaffigan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. No, the high kids are the ones that they put their car in reverse and then like go full speed backwards.
Yes.
Making the kids look like they're going even faster and they pull them over. Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm on track now.
Yeah. And also in that they're arresting the kids because they're high. The kids are all high and they're trying to hide it. And so they put them in the back of the cop car. This little sports car thing just flies down the highway past them, and so they start a high speed pursuit, and it ends up that's a highway patrolman as well who flew by them and is just messing with them. And so it's goofy, stupid humor,
but it's fun.
But it's so fun.
They're well written.
Mm-hmm.
They're very well written.
Yeah, they're written and directed by the group.
Now, and that one has this kind of like love story in it between the rookie cop, right, and this, what is she, like a sheriff?
She's on the police force.
Okay.
Yeah, because
she's really cute. What was she in? She's not in much else, is she?
She is not in much else, no.
That's the one thing about these movies is that they get actors in them who aren't in a lot of other things.
Yeah, they get kind of the lower end of the of actors, and not skill-wise, but celebrity-wise.
Well, sometimes they're up and coming, too.
Yeah, that's true. She's best known for Freddy Got Fingered with Tom Green and Teaching Mrs. Tingle with the former Mrs. Tom Cruise.
Katie Holmes?
Yeah, there you go.
That's a weird way around that.
She was on a few episodes of Bones and Medium, so she's done a couple of TV work, but okay. She hasn't done a lot.
But this movie is really funny.
Yeah, so the Highway Patrol, or the state troopers, sorry, and the local police have a beef. They don't get along, and they fight over jurisdiction. So the main catalyst of what's happening in the movie is that they find this like abandoned trailer, camper trailer with a dead woman in it, and then they find a whole bunch of marijuana. The troopers are the ones who find it, so they're trying to take jurisdiction of it. The local cops say, no, it's our jurisdiction. You know, it goes from there. The police officer chief, Chief Grady, is Daniel Von Bargen.
Ah.
Yeah, and he's in so much. And it's really sad that he's not in the sequel because, of course, he passed in 2015.
The older guy in that?
Not the troopers chief, the police chief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's always an authority figure of some kind.
So these guys got together in college.
Yes.
And they just started making movies right away, or do they do other things first?
The first movie that they made, I don't know how far after college they made it, but it's called Puddle Cruiser. It was their first movie, and that came out in 1996. And that's the only one of their film repertoire that I haven't seen yet.
So that's 22 years ago, so they've been doing this for a while.
They have been doing this for a while, yeah. So they have 5 movies that they've made.
Okay.
And so Puddle Cruiser was the first one, then and that was in 96. Super Troopers came out in
2001, I
2001.
Believe.
Club Dread came out in 2004. Beer Fest came out in 2006.
And then Slam and Salmon.
Slam and Salmon came out in 2009.
Okay.
And then in 2018, we get Super Troopers 2.
Awesome.
So excited, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
And so now, what exactly is it that they do? Do they do anything else other than these? Like, are they, because like Key and Peele, they're a comedy duo who did their show together, but they do separate things. Like, you know, Jordan Peele is directing movies, writing and directing movies. Keegan-Michael Key is off doing, you know, TV spots all the time. They do separate things. Do these guys do other things and they just come together for a Broken Lizards movie, or is it just this?
Well, the one who directs most often is Jay...
Good luck pronouncing that last name.
Chandraskar?
Okay, we'll go with that.
This is his last name.
If he has a problem with how we pronounce his name, he is free to call us, email us, let us know.
So Jay is... he played Thorny in Super Troopers. He was kind of like the lead of the state troopers. He was the
senior officer.
There you go, senior officer. And he directs the majority of the movies. He directed Super Troopers. He directed Beer Fest. He directed Club Dread and Puddle Cruiser. So the only one he hasn't directed is Slammin' Salmon, which was actually directed by Kevin Heffernan, who plays Farva in Super Troopers. He's the heavier of the of the five guys. Anyway, he does a lot of writing and directing outside of Broken Lizard. He has directed episodes of The Goldbergs, Fresh Off the Boat, Speechless, The Mayor, New Girl. So he does a lot of TV.
Okay.
He usually will guest star in these shows, too. He's directed Powerless, Superstore, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Royal Pains, The Grinder.
Wow, he has directed a lot of TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Nine episodes of Community, The Night Shift, Marry Me, Bad Teacher, The Rebels, Us and Them, Welcome to the Family. So there's a whole bunch. Happy Endings.
Oh, okay. I love that show.
Animal Practice, which was a short-lived...
Very short-lived. Which is so good, because that guy, the lead in that one, he's in the TV show Weeds, and it was about a hospital where he has a monkey?
I'm pretty sure it was a vet clinic.
Okay. Yeah, and there's a monkey as a sidekick. Like,
I think it was his personal pet.
Yeah, but still, like...
Yeah, there was a monkey.
Like... I'm describing this premise, and that is not a show that should have been out within the last... Like, that seems like a very 1980s sitcom idea.
It was a 2012.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm very much aware, but I'm saying it seems like a 1980s sitcom.
Yeah, it didn't last very long. And then it was really sad because we really liked that actor, and then he went on to be on APB just this last season.
Yeah, and it got canceled,
And it got canceled, too. Yeah, so he actually does quite a bit. Yeah. And he will usually guest star in the movies.
Again, not the same guy.
No. As far as the other ones, you know, I'm not entirely sure.
Well, so Super Troopers was their big one. Like, people know what Super Troopers is. And they take these and they went on and they did Club Dread after that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was, you know, we rewatched that one last night to refresh ourselves with that. And... You know, it's like a horror movie.
It's a slasher comedy?
Yeah. It's not scary in any way.
No, not really.
It plays on to like the Friday the 13th, you know, Jason Voorhees type of thing. There's a killer on the island, and they're really good about... I haven't seen it in a few years, and watching it last night, I forgot who was the killer.
Mm-hmm.
Until the very end, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's written really well. Like, it doesn't give away, and it's done fun. Like, they give you the classic red herrings where you're like, is it this person? Oh, they're leading you to being this person. It's done very well. It's got a good cast too.
Mm-hmm. Outside the
troupe of Broken Lizard,
right?
Like, because they always get people in their movies that are not part of the troupe,
right?
That's one of their focal points, one of their high points, I believe, is getting good cast. Like I said, they're not necessarily big names, but they're talented people.
Mm-hmm. However, Club Dread did have a pretty big name.
It did.
So Club Dread takes place on an island. It's off of Costa Rica, and it's Coconut Pete's Pleasure Island. So Coconut Pete is an absolute knockoff of Jimmy Buffett.
Absolutely.
And
well, one of his biggest songs is Pina Colada Berg.
Pina Colada Berg. And so you go to this island, it's a tropical paradise where you just drink and party your entire stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so at night they're by a campfire and Coconut Pete's playing one of his songs and this super drunk girl says, "Play Margaritaville." And he gets super angry.
Don't you mean Pina Colada Berg?
She's like, "No, it's Margaritaville. I love that song."
You mean Pina Colada Berg, which is a song I wrote 7 years before the Margaritaville was even a thing.
So you can tell that he gets very touchy about the fact that he's a knockoff
Jimmy Buffett.
But anyway, Coconut Pete is played brilliantly by Bill Paxton.
The late Bill Paxton.
And he's just great because he's crazy, he's drunk all the time, and he just doesn't really care about life anymore.
Yeah.
And he does a great, great job.
Yeah. And it's got Lindsay Price is in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people, and not just this one, but they get a lot of one-off actors in their movies that are fun.
Mm-hmm.
In Slammin' Salmon, which we'll talk about later, you've got Colby Smulders is in it.
Uh-huh. She does great.
One of my favorites, Olivia Munn. is in has a small part in it. Will Forte, who has also been in Beer Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some people that transition between movies, but they're small parts. They're not part of the troupe.
Right.
Isn't Cloris Leachman in Beer Fest?
Yes, she is brilliant in Beer Fest. She is so good in that movie.
Cloris Leachman's awesome.
She really is. I'm glad we still have her.
Let's talk more about Club Dread.
Okay.
When we come back.
All right.
Yeah, so we'll take a break. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right of way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Gervin. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology and the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Gomez.
And today we're talking about Broken Lizard.
Now, we've already discussed the Super Troopers and Club Dread movies.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a little more about Club Dread because we kind of left it right before the break with us saying we're going to talk more about it. Because that one is kind of different from the rest of them. The rest of them are really funny, and this one is like a slasher film.
Yeah, it's categorized as comedy, horror, mystery.
And that's an actually astute description of that movie.
Yeah, the horror category is...
There's just a lot of blood.
There's a lot of blood, and there is a kill. There's a machete wielding killer on the loose, and you know you don't know who it is. So
the mystery's actually done really well. Like the clues and everything in it are surprisingly good.
Yeah, what's really funny is so the movie opens on a murder. You know, it's three people being stupid in the jungle, and so they get killed. And then 1 hour earlier, it shows everybody arriving on the island for the weekend, And it follows this one guy kind of walking through all the staff members. And he kind of makes each one of them slightly mad. And so the way the camera kind of slows down on them and then music gets a little dark, it's like they're saying, oh, it's all of these people. And so it starts off letting you know who the options are.
Yeah.
So, all of these people are potentially the murderer. Now you have to just figure out which one it is.
Yeah.
And they do a really good job. It is done very well.
Yeah. I was surprised by watching it again last night. Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that leads us to Beer Fest.
Yes.
Which is arguably the second best known.
Right. So
I think it's Club Dread. That's because I've watched it. I haven't really watched Beer Fest.
Oh, we need to get you to watch Beer Fest.
So this is up to you now.
We ran out of
time. Our listeners are depending on you to tell them about what Beer Fest.
So I first saw Super Troopers when I was in college. I was at a party at a friend's house and they decided to start watching it. I'm like, oh, what is this? And
ooh, watching movies in college. You had those wild days.
Well, I wasn't in the back bedroom partaking in what they were doing back there. So I was in the living room the whole time going, okay, what's going on? So they put this movie on, and oh my gosh, I laughed so hard at this movie that I had to go back and rewatch it because I missed so many lines because I was just laughing so much. It was just so funny. And every time I've watched it since then, it doesn't disappoint. I still laugh. So I saw it. It had to have been around 2002, 2003. So it wasn't too long after the movie came out.
Right.
It came out in 2001. That's the year I went into college. So, and it was my freshman year. So it was brand new, probably out on DVD. And so when I found out that they were doing Beer Fest, I got really excited because it kind of looked like a pseudo sequel. Because even though it wasn't the same thing, it was the same people, so I got really excited. I was actually really disappointed in Beer Fest.
Yeah.
It wasn't nearly as funny. It was a little more crude than I was expecting. And not that Super Troopers wasn't, but
right, because Super Troopers is pretty crude.
Right, but I guess it's just a different kind. I've watched it since the first time, and it's gotten a little better.
I think I've seen parts of Beer Fest. I have seen clips. I think I've seen it on Comedy Central, so it's obviously...
Oh, it's super edited.
Yeah. And
yeah, they're movies you really shouldn't watch on network.
It's even more, from what I've seen, it's even more objectification of women than most of their other movies.
Yeah, I would say that. Although Cloris Leachman is in it, and she is very good. So two of the guys are brothers. They own a brewery.
Uh-huh.
And they have to travel back to Germany to take part in Oktoberfest because the family recipe has been stolen or something like that.
So deep writing on this one.
Yes, yes. So they have to travel to Germany during Oktoberfest, and they have to kind of prove their worth. So they have to take part in Oktoberfest activities. And so, of course, they're all drinking games. And so, yeah, it just feels a little more juvenile.
She's the matriarch of the family, right?
She is the great-grandmother.
Okay. Cloris Leachman is great. Everything she's in is fantastic, whether it be... Young Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
Frankenstein, or, you know, Beverly Hillbillies. You could not have cast better as the grandma in Beverly Hillbillies movie.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I remember her from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Wow, that's going back.
Yeah. She's fantastic. And now she plays crazy grandma now. Like,
mm-hmm.
like she has leaned into that.
Mm-hmm.
She, instead of being like, oh, there's no roles for older women. She's like, nope, there are roles. I just got to play crazy grandma.
Cause yeah.
She was in, Raising Hope.
Mm-hmm. As the actual crazy, like dementia grandma.
Wasn't she the grandma in Malcolm in the Middle?
I don't know.
I feel like she was, or she did something on Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah, I feel like there was something with Malcolm in the Middle. But she's wonderful, and she was even on Dancing with the Stars back in 2005.
Mm-hmm. At the age of 82, she right? was the oldest person to be on Dancing with the Stars. And you know what? She held her own.
She did.
Yeah, she did. She did pretty good.
You stay strong, Cloris Leachman. We love you.
She's Granny Goodness on Justice League Action.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
awesome.
She even does voiceovers.
Yeah, Cloris Leachman and like Betty White. There's like a core group of older Hollywood that is in their 90 plus years, and you're just like, they're heroes to me.
They have to be protected.
Yeah. You got like Betty White, Dick Van Dyke, Cloris Leachman. You just hold on to these people. Give them roles.
Mm-hmm.
Take their talent while you can.
So Cloris Leachman was on Malcolm in the Middle. She played Ida. So I don't know if she was a relative, but she was in several episodes.
Yeah, I feel like she was the mom's mom.
That would make sense. Oh, well, her first episode was an episode called The Grandparents. Yes, she was Lois's mother.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Okay, not going crazy.
There you go. Good job. Good job.
So Beer Fest is not as good as the rest, but it falls in line with the rest of them, though.
I think my biggest problem was that it wasn't what I was expecting.
It's kind of like the Harry Potter movies for you, and I know I can use this. Like, they're all Harry Potter. There's just some that are better than others. When you're going to have to, no matter what, categorize how you like things better.
Right, right.
And Super Troopers will be at the top, mm-hmm. and Beer Fest is lower.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
The more I've watched it, I have watched it a couple more times, and it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
They at the end of Beer Fest, there's I don't remember if it actually happens at the end of the movie or if it's an after credits cutscene. I can't remember, but they alluded to the fact that now they're going to Amsterdam and now they're going to take place in pot games. You know, they just did beer games and now they're going to do pot games.
Oh, so they were betting hard on a sequel for this movie. That
they teased it. I don't know if that's still in the works or if it was just a one-off joke or they wanted to see how well Beer Fest did. I don't know.
Would that be Joint Fest or...
It's something like that, yeah. But it was in, you know, they went to Germany for Beer Fest.
Oh, maybe it was Beer Fest, that would be Bud Fest.
Maybe.
And I'm pretty sure that is the extent of pot lingo that I know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's something to watch.
It's something to watch. It's still funny. These guys are talented, and I
really
like their
work. It's fun to watch actors do fake German accents.
It is. Oh, there's some really good fake German accents in this movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The one we just watched recently that we just discovered.
Yes.
Slammin' Salmon.
Slammin' Salmon. I didn't even know this movie existed.
And that is how far we're behind. I always try to get our title in there just a little bit, that we're a little behind. And we were a little behind on this.
About 9 years.
9 years. Wow, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, it came out in 2009.
So 2009, Slammin' Salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really funny. This is the one that's directed by...
Kevin Heffernan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that this one is actually the least vulgar of all their movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Slammin' Salmon is a restaurant in Miami.
Okay.
And it is owned by former heavyweight boxing champion. I don't remember his name, but his nickname was the Slammin' Salmon. And it's played, again, brilliantly by the late Michael Clark Duncan.
So Bill Paxton and Michael Clark Duncan. So maybe
don't do movies with
broken
lizards.
Yeah, if you're a middle-aged man of any kind of notoriety, just avoid broken lizards. It's like, hey, Keanu Reeves, do you want to do a broken lizards movie? No. Like, why not? I know what happened to all your other actors.
I mean,
you know who would still take it? Nicolas Cage.
I was just going to say, maybe even Nicolas Cage would say no to this.
Okay, Nick, I'm just going to tell you right now, there's an offer right now for you to do a movie. Sweet, I'll take it. No, okay, it's a Broken Lizards movie, and you're at the age where the people who are in those normally die. Bill Paxton was in Club Dread, dead. Michael Clark Duncan was in Slammin' Salmon, dead. We just think you shouldn't take this. No, I'm going to take it. What? Who? What? Where? When do I sign up?
Okay, so there's a video.
People are like, what are you doing?
There's a video that we will link to on our website,
mm-hmm.
that is a parody video of Nicolas Cage saying yes to everything.
Every movie offered to him.
And it's hilarious.
It's done from the aspect, it's his agent on the phone with him. Telling him that he has an offer, but you should probably turn it down because this is... And Nicolas Cage is like, I'll take it. And it keeps escalating through some of the worst possible options. And it is hilarious. And so we will link to this video. It's like, what, 4 minutes long?
It's brilliant.
So funny. It's one of our favorites. And we reference this a lot.
We do.
And a lot of people don't realize that we reference it a lot.
Anyway, so back to Slammin' Salmon.
Yes.
So this former heavyweight boxer owns a restaurant in Miami, Florida, and he gets into some trouble, and he owes the Japanese mafia.
The Yakuza.
$20,000.
Yep.
And so he tells the restaurant manager that they need to make $20,000 tonight so that he can pay the Yakuza or he's going to lose the restaurant. So Kevin Heffernan, who directed the movie, he also plays the manager of the restaurant. And so he tells the staff that, the waiter who sells the most tonight gets, these Norah Jones tickets because he was going to go to the concert with his wife. Well, they don't really care about Norah Jones. So then it turns into, a free weekend stay at this resort and spa that he imitated the owner of the restaurant in order to get comped to him. And then when that doesn't work, the owner comes in and says, fine, I'll give the winner $10,000.
Which he needs 20. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry. It comes around.
He's not a math person.
This is very much a parody. His character is very much a very mean parody of George Foreman.
Yes. Absolutely.
I would say that if you're parodying anyone, it would be George Foreman. Mm-hmm. But this character is very mean. I feel like George Foreman seems like a likable guy.
Yeah, he does. He does seem that way.
This character, Michael Clark Duncan, plays him very well. And he's brilliant. And it's so sad. You watch this movie and you realize what a talent was lost with mm-hmm. Michael Clark Duncan. However, the character he plays is the worst.
So he says that the winner of the contest gets $10,000, but the loser gets beat up.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he's going to beat up the loser.
Yeah.
And he hits people. And he's super violent. Like, Michael Clark Duncan, I can't stress enough how great, and a lot of things have been said about Michael Clark Duncan, that he's a really sweet guy. Mm-hmm. And you can even see they have bloopers at the end, and he plays along with it really well. But this character is so mean.
Yeah, he really is. But
he's scary.
And he mispronounces things. He gets things wrong all the time. And when people try to correct him, it does not go well.
It does not.
one of the greatest bits is that he's reading the name of one of the waiters, and he's like, Meat Drapes. Who's Meat Drapes? And he says,
Metropolis.
Yeah.
Right, it's Metropolis?
Metropolis, I think.
Well, it's got the L and everything in it.
It's Greek.
Metropolis, yeah.
Metropolis, yeah. Something like that. And so he corrects him. He's like, but it says Meat Drapes. Yeah, but that's not how it's pronounced. Meat Drapes. Well, that's what it sounds like when I say it. So now the guy's saying Meat Drapes.
Why is it wrong coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, it's great. And
so the whole wait staff is, most of them are the Broken Lizards.
Right. And then you throw in Colby Smulders mm-hmm. from How I Met Your Mother.
Who plays a girl going through medical school.
Mm-hmm. She's a first year medical student.
I really liked her role in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because she's Robin from How I Met Your Mother. And it's a very different role. And she is, I think this is like super sweet in this. Mm-hmm. Like, she's smart. She's adorable. Because even in How I Met Your Mother, Robin is kind of an abrasive girl.
Right.
In this one, she's very sweet, and it's really good. And I mean, Colby Smulders plays those sort of roles, too. Like, she's Maria in the Avengers. She's part of the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, she's just trying to make her way through. And the other girl, I don't know her name and the actress's name, but she was in 2.5 Men as Alan's second wife, the ditzy one.
Yes.
Who x-rayed a chimichanga to see what was inside of it. If you didn't know what was inside of it, why would you order it? Because it's fun to order chimichanga.
April Balbi.
Okay, she's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really great in this.
Yes. She plays a ballerina. So she's the other one is working her way through medical school. This one's working her way through the Ballerina Institute in mm-hmm. Florida. And so everybody has the thing that they're
side note for anyone who knows me, she would make a fantastic Harley Quinn in the live action movies. Like, I know you got Margot Robbie, but at some point, like, she would be even better. Because
mm-hmm.
take it from somebody who watches a lot of the Batman animated series and follows the comics and everything. She would be a perfect Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm. She really would.
And I feel that they went with Margot Robbie because Margot Robbie is a bigger name.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, she would have been much better. Like, if I had my way, I would have cast her that way.
Yeah.
personally.
Yeah. So all these waiters are trying to drum up, you know, sales in the dining room. They're trying to, you know, upsell all the clients. There's a brilliant role by Will Forte. So Will Forte is, of course, you know, he's a funny man. He's from SNL. He's on Last Man on Earth, which is an amazing show on Fox.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good. We're gonna take a moment here to sidetrack. We'll get back to Will Forte, but we're gonna talk about Last Man on Earth really quickly. That, you're right, it is fantastic. And a lot of people don't realize it's as good as it should be. His character and, what's her name?
Kristen Schaal.
They are probably the most annoying characters on that show, but it's doable because it is so well written.
Mm-hmm.
And what that the premise of that, super quick, there's been a virus that's killed off the entire planet except for very few people.
Who are immune to it.
And they are traveling through because they have to keep moving because of the areas they're at. It's not important where they're moving along other than the virus and everything. But they come across other survivors. Occasionally, they'll just have episodes that are just those people's backstory out of nowhere. It's just a quick one-off episode. And it's so well written.
Yeah, so the show, it's called Last Man on Earth because the pilot episode was Will Forte
by himself.
Because the virus has killed off everyone. He lives in Tucson. And the pilot actually opens on he's been traveling the country for, I think, 2 years.
2 years. Mm-hmm.
Spray painting signs on billboards all over the country saying, alive in Tucson. And so he thinks he is the last man on Earth because he has not seen another person in 2 years. And then at the very end of the episode, or it might even be the second episode, he finds Kristen Schaal's character.
End of the first episode.
And so they start finding people. And so it turns out that there are people who were immune to this disease who are still living. And so there is a core group that is on the show. And then they keep finding other people every once in a while. But if you're not watching the show, please, please, please take a look. Because it's an amazing show.
Yeah. So we are going to take a break, and we'll get back to finishing with Slammin' Salmon. Not Salmon Slammin'. That's what he does. Hits people. All right. So you're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it, Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a very special Valentine's night, February 14th. That's Lady Bott and the Bluebirds at Elements Lounge in Wind River Resort and Casino. $55 per couple with your club card. Free slot play, steak and lobster, champagne and dessert. Sound delicious? Limited seating on Valentine's night with a 4 p.m., a 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. reservation. Call 243-3377 for your Valentine's reservation today.
Happy New Year from the McConnell Foundation. Our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. There's an African proverb that goes, to go fast, go alone. To go far, go together. We look forward to going far in 2018 with our community partners in projects and programs in the areas of community vitality, education, trails, and open space. Our future is bright together. Let's get started.
The name says it all. Veterans Diesel and Auto. When it comes to keeping your wheels rolling, you can depend on Justin to give you quality, guaranteed work. Customers on Yelp praise Veterans Diesel and Auto, saying it's excellent, honest, and fair repairs. Now, veterans, you can also receive an additional 10% off all labor costs on any car or truck repair. Veterans Diesel and Auto Repair, 5246 West Side Road. Look them up online by searching Veterans Diesel Reading, a veteran-owned local small business.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are finishing up our Broken Lizards episode.
Yes.
We're going to get back to talking about Slammin' Salmon, because we were talking about that. We got sidetracked by The Last Man on Earth, because Will Forte.
Right, but now back to Will Forte. So Will Forte is a funny guy in most of what he does. You know, he's a comedic actor. He's funny. But in this movie, he has a rather serious role. In all this chaos, he's a lone diner. He's sitting at a table reading War and Peace, and all he orders at first is just some hot water with lemon, and then I think eventually he does get an entree, but the waiter who is assigned to his table is getting really frustrated because he's not ordering enough, and that's a table he could be making money on. But instead, there's this weird guy there sitting reading War and Peace. And it turns out to have a very touching ending. And it's just very sweet. And I'm like, wow, Will Forte did a really good job in this.
Yeah, it was really good. And then you have the other couple, which is the guy who played Mohinder from the TV show Heroes and Olivia Munn.
Mm-hmm. So he is an actor, and she is his interior decorator that have been dating for a little while. And he decides that he wants to propose.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he wants to take the lame approach of hiding it in her dessert. So he gives the waiter a diamond ring
which is worth $450,000.
I mean, this thing is huge. And so he puts it into a brownie, and he sets it so the waiter puts the ring in the brownie, sets the brownie down, and the restaurant manager eats the brownie
because it's on their go back table, and they all are all know that if a piece of food is sent back, it's up for grabs.
Yeah. So anytime anything is put in the go back area, they pounce on it like piranhas. And so he eats it. So, of course, he ate the ring. So now we have the
entire movie of them waiting to get the ring back.
So they keep trying to stretch for time. And so they offer the couple, oh, you should, for dessert, you should try our souffle. It will take 45 minutes to make. And Olivia Munn's character's like, no, we're good. We don't need that. And
her boyfriend's like, no,
I really want that. So we'll wait. And so they keep drinking and drinking and waiting and waiting. And so, of course, that's comedy gold right there.
Waiting for a ring to pass.
Yes.
Pass. Being the word.
And what's really great is that he finally gets the ring and the diamond's not there. So he has to go back in. Yeah, I mean, they get it out, of course, and, you know, all is well. And then for some reason, they still insist on hiding it in a brownie.
Ugh.
Ew. And so she's eating the brownie, loving it. And then, of course, she chomps down on this ring and gets all excited. And he's like, yeah, I don't really want to kiss you right now. Because he knows where that ring has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, I would just be like, nope. I'll still propose if necessary, but...
Maybe not tonight.
Maybe not tonight.
Maybe not tonight.
Yeah. Just, nope. Nope. Get that ring sanitized, cleaned.
Another guest...
Bathroom soap is not enough.
Another guest starring role is Morgan Fairchild.
Uh-huh.
Because one of the waiters had quit the following year because he got a role...
The previous year.
Yeah. He got a role on a TV show. It was a CSI Hotlanta.
CFI.
CFI Hotlanta.
Uh-huh.
And he got fired after 2 episodes. And so now he has to return to the restaurant. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, it's fine. Well, Morgan Fairchild was a co-star on that show. And
he claims that he was let go because him and her had a torrid affair.
Right, and that the producer of the show got jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
And so then she shows up.
Who comes in for this night for the restaurant? Morgan and the producer and a couple of the other cast and crew for the show.
Yeah.
So that's all kinds of awkward. And, of course, he's their waiter.
There is a lot of chaos in this movie.
There really is. But it's done so, again, it's done so well.
It's it's like a juggling act. Like, they keep two balls in the air at one time,
mm-hmm.
at all points. And it's handled and balanced very well.
Yeah, they do a really good job. It's very well written. All of these movies are written by all five. They all get credit because they're a troupe together.
Yeah, it even says written by Broken Lizard.
By Broken Lizard. But as I was saying earlier, Jay usually directs them. Kevin Heffernan actually directed this one. And I think he did a really good job. This was a very enjoyable movie. Like I said, so if you like comedy but you're not really into the crude humor, this is a good gateway into what they do, because it all takes place in the restaurant, and it's not terrible.
If crudeness is your worry, but you want to watch these, I would probably say go in with this one, then do Super Troopers,
mm-hmm.
then Club Dread,
mm-hmm.
then Beer Fest.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd say that's good.
Or is Super Troopers more crude than Club Dread? I can't remember. It's been a while.
No.
Okay, in other words, start with Slammin' Salmon.
Start with Slammin'
Salmon. And with Brewfest. Beer Fest,
yes.
Your dealer's choice, which one you want to do between. Okay, but that leaves us with The Up and Coming.
The Up and Coming. So they have been working on the sequel, Super Troopers 2. I mean, they've been wanting to do it for a while. I'm pretty sure they had to get Kickstarter in on this.
Oh, okay.
That people were donating, you know, putting up money for this.
How did you not donate to that?
I don't know.
Because you talk about that movie all the time.
I do. I love this movie so much. And I'm always worried when things that I love get sequels. Because on the one hand, I desperately want more, but on the other hand, I'm afraid it won't live up. Like, I'm having this problem with Westworld. We've talked about this before, that season one of Westworld is amazing. It is almost a perfect show.
It may be one of the best things I've ever seen on TV, and I don't say that lightly.
In a matter of, 3 weeks, we watched the entire 10-episode series 5 times?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good show. And season 2 is coming out this year, and I'm super nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Because, honestly, if they never came out with another season of that show, I'd be happy. Because season 1 was so perfect, and it had an ending that I can live with. And while, yes, they left it open for a season 2, I'd be okay if there wasn't. And so I felt the same way about Super Troopers, that I loved the first one so much, and it made me laugh so much, that I don't really know if anything can live up to it. And I saw the teaser trailer, and I'm like, okay, I mean, I'll watch it, but again, I'm still not sure. But then they came out with an extended trailer, and I'm a little less worried. It looks like it's going to be amazing, because Rob Lowe is in it. Oh my gosh, we have to watch out for Rob Lowe.
Yes. Oh no, you're right. Oh no.
So Rob, please be careful.
So if you're listening to our last segment, which we hope you were, yeah, Rob Lowe needs to be super careful.
But so the premise of the sequel is that apparently there is a city that is on the Canadian border that is up against Vermont, and it actually is on U.S. soil. Like the territory line was drawn wrong, and so these Canadians are actually Americans and didn't know it. And so it is the state troopers trying to mix with the Mounties and trying to make these people comfortable being Americans. And Rob Lowe is a Canadian. I don't know what kind of role he has, whether he's a
prime minister or something.
Yeah, I don't. A politician of some kind, a city planner. I don't know, but he's Canadian and he's wanting them to come in on this and teach them how to be Americans. And it just looks amazing.
It does look pretty fun.
It looks really good.
We'll have links to that trailer
mm-hmm.
on our website. And they're all Red Band trailers, so. You know,
oh, yeah.
So be prepared for some crude language.
Do not let the kiddies watch this one.
Yeah, we always try to let everyone know, because I think people aren't aware that our website exists. But we have all of our episodes on there.
Yes, please visit us at gomezcast.com. Just as it sounds, GOMEZCAST.com. And we have links to everything we talk about. We have all of our episodes that you can stream or you can download and take with you. We have photos.
Links to things that we talk about.
Yeah, it's all there. So please, please come visit us.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you're already listening on the website, isn't it nice to know that you're listening to the thing that we're talking about?
Right? Inception of radio.
And there's going to be a lot of things that we're... So Super Troopers is one of the ones that we're going to definitely see opening weekend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes.
And there is another one. I think it's one of the few movies that we're super excited about.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, we had this discussion earlier, and you asked which of these two movies I would be more excited about. And I had my reasons for saying one over the other.
Yeah.
And
if you could only watch one, which one would it be?
And so you asked me, and the choices were Avengers of Infinity Wars,
mm-hmm,
or Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Yay!
I feel that Teen Titans Go to the Movies may be a better movie, but if I had to choose one, I would choose Avengers Infinity War because of the fact that this movie had almost 10 years in the making of Easter eggs and cut scenes, post-credit scenes, I should say, and leading up to it. And I want to see this. I want to see the culmination of what this all leads up to.
Mm.
But Teen Titans Go to the Movies is going to be
amazing. I'm excited about Infinity War too, but if you told me that I can only watch one or the other, then for me it would be Teen Titans. I absolutely love the TV show Teen Titans Go. And to me, that is Teen Titans. I know a lot of people think of the original, you know, kind of darker, more serious anime style. But
the terrible, cheesy 1980s comics and everything. Yeah.
Right. But Teen Titans Go is an animated show on Cartoon Network, and I love it. I love the writing. It is witty.
Do not go in expecting a superhero show.
No, not at all. It is a comedy. It is hilarious. It's so well written. Their jokes are amazing.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that. So well written.
Mm-hmm.
So funny. So many pop culture references. Mm-hmm. So many just adult. And I don't mean crude adult humor. I mean very mature, funny humor. There's an episode that is just about Robin explaining to them how they're going to be financially secure if they buy a rental property and how you get a mortgage and how you file for a mortgage. Like, legitimately, it is hilarious in the details that they put into this. Kids, I don't know how kids even find this funny, but after going through mortgages and loans and all this, I know exactly why this is funny.
Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited that they're getting a movie, and I have no idea what to expect.
Me either.
Other than amazingness.
And I think that's what's going to play into this so well, is that there's no expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't, like with the Avengers Infinity War, it's been led up to. This one is just kind of out of left field, and it's just going to be like some crazy random thing, and they don't have any rules that they have to follow by. They don't have to fit into a canon. They don't have to be like, oh, it's non-canonical. Like, no. It doesn't matter. They're just there, and it's going to be as extended, probably more. When you can throw money at a show like that, you're just going to get a better version.
Yeah.
Whereas with other shows and TV shows and movies, if you throw more money at a canonical thing where you have to keep within it, it feels like it needs to be bigger than it has to be, and then it becomes bad.
Yeah. So the top build cast are, of course, the five leads from the show. So you have Robin, Starfire, Cyborg, Beast Boy, and
Raven.
So those five people are the top build, except two others, Will Arnett and Kristen Bell. Now, Will Arnett's does not have a character. He's just listed as a voice, but it's pretty well assumed that he's probably going to be Batman, because he was Batman in the Lego movies, the Batman Lego, and then the regular Lego movie. While Batman appears in Teen Titans Go, he's never actually spoken.
Yeah.
You see him, and he kind of giggles with...
We talked about this on one of our other shows.
Yeah, he giggles with Commissioner Gordon while they're fishing or watching TV, and it's adorable.
We're going to be bringing this up a lot between now and when it comes out in the summer.
But he's never talked, so I more than likely Will Arnett will be the voice of Batman. But also listed is Kristen Bell. And
I don't know what she's going to play.
And it's finally on IMDb. Her character is Jade Wilson.
Oh, she must be related to Slade Wilson.
Who is what? Who is who?
That's the best friend of Raven, the bad girl. She's like Deathstroke's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I wonder, so she must be, oh, okay.
She is Jade Wilson.
We will need to look this up.
Yes.
So, yeah, look this up. And I'm pretty sure that leaves us at the end of our show.
Yeah.
Because we've talked quite a bit about Broken Lizards and what to expect and what we're excited for. Come back next week. We don't know what we'll have, but we'll have something for you.
We'll have something good.
So this is the show that we like to do called We're a Little Behind.
I'm Jen Gomez.
I'm Chris Gomez.
And good night.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. With Republicans wildly applauding and Democrats sitting in stony silence, President Trump delivered his first State of the Union message this evening before both houses of Congress.
There has never been a better time to start living the American dream. So to every citizen watching at home tonight, no matter where you've been or where you've come from, this is your time. If you work hard,